you've been releasing new music.
Yeah.
In November, you decided to do something ambitious. You decided to release a new song every 2 weeks.
Yeah. Yeah. So basically, coming out the other end, well, while I was working on my first album, which is just finished at this point, thank God, taking its time. But I had all these songs that I'd written that didn't quite fit creatively on the album, but songs, there were stories that I loved and songs that I felt deserved a home.
Yeah.
And I came up with this idea of the self-care mixtape to put them all into one group and release a song every 2 weeks.
Okay.
Which was a strong undertaking, but yeah, rewarding.
So it's under the theme of self-care.
Yeah.
That's wonderful.
Yeah, I think, I mean, when I reviewed all the songs, they were all quite, it's essentially a breakup mixtape.
Okay.
So it's like I think to put them all into one group is just a good way to kind of look after yourself. And it was really, people really bought it.
I mean, I think that the most successful songwriters are the ones who tell a personal story and help other people to process their stories.
Yeah.
With their own experiences, you know.
That's a nice
and
way
I think
to put
that
it.
You've done that wonderfully in every song that you've ever released. Whether it's like when I listen to things like Talk, Warm, you're able to put words to an emotional experience that other people are not able to articulate. And that's why people fall in love with it.
Thank you.
You also
really
just do great hooks as well.
Ah.
You know, which is a craft in itself. Yeah. But I have to tell you a personal story about one of your songs. Because I spoke about it before on air, your song Love Somebody.
Yeah.
My cousin is living in Glasgow and she went to see you play.
Oh, wow.
And when she was at your gig, she had been dating a guy for about 7 or 8 weeks.
Okay.
And she knew when you said, if you love somebody, you better let them know.
Yeah.
That she was in love with him.
That's so what it's all about, isn't
it? I don't
it?
Think you understand how much your music means to other people, how it gets them from one emotional post to the next, you know.
Oh, stop.
So
that's what it's all about. Yeah,
it really is, you know. And it doesn't, because I know some of your songs are quite heart-wrenching.
Yeah.
Like Young Men means a lot to people.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
the
yeah.
story that's told in that. And
thank you. Yeah, it is.
But it's also about how music can take you to really high places.
Yeah, I think it's that's the way I've always kind of, I mean, I got into music I've always loved it, but coming from Waterford, I felt like I just wanted to fit in. I felt like I didn't feel like there was enough avenues to kind of to really go for it. But then
you actually talked to me about that before. You said that you were a GAA player.
Yeah, I still am at heart.
Okay, yeah.
I don't say I'm very good
anymore.
Do you have
any county medals?
I do, yeah.
Do you actually?
Butlerstown undefeated, under 16 county champions.
Your girlfriend needs to appreciate this.
Like, I know,
so this
I know.
Is a thing growing up, right? Yeah. That if a guy had a county medal in sport, I mean, he might as well have been a celebrity.
Big deal.
Like Irish red carpet.
Big deal.
Huge deal.
Forget about doing gigs.
This
it's all
is like
about
having land. Like,
yeah. Big
and
deal.
There's actually a term for women who are interested in lads who play sport like that. They're called jersey pullers.
Yeah.
So you're now officially, you're a jersey puller.
Yeah. By technicality. Yeah.
I'll take that.
Yeah. I know, I think, but coming from that sort of background.
It's hard.
I got a little bit of a hard time in school for it, but things kind of changed when my sister passed away when I was 16. My brother also passed away, and music initially was a self-preservation thing. Was just trying to figure out what was going on in my head.
Yeah.
And now I'm like kind of I've gone through that, and I'm kind of out the other side, and I've got these stories, and it's great that I'm able to I'm lucky that I can write them and people can see a bit of themselves in them. That's the whole thing.
I mean, the movie Amy came out at the weekend.
Yeah.
Obviously about herself, and there's a clip in it where she says, I didn't write songs to be famous. I write songs because I don't know what I would do.
Yeah.
If, you know, and it sounds a little bit like it was the same for you.
Yeah.
It was being in your bedroom and trying to come to terms with something.
Yeah, you exactly,
know?
Yeah.
But people like fall in love with that honesty, you know.
Yeah.
And I really appreciate it too when you said to me before that about the Gaa thing and about how like being this choir boy was like social suicide.
Yeah.
You know? And you do feel like you have to go into one box when you're a teenager.
It certainly felt that way, like growing up, especially going into like an all boys school. I think hopefully it's changed a bit since then. I think it has. But there was definitely that pressure to associate like sport and with masculinity if you don't do if you do music, you're inverted commas gay or something. Gay. It was like some sort of derogatory term.
But sport is still like seen to be the only acceptable way to get out emotion as a man. It's like you go onto a pitch and you shove each other, and you can't go back to the fit dressing room and say I had a really bad day.
Yeah, exactly. Like there's merits to going out and exercising, and sport's an amazing way to do that. But also, you need to be able to communicate, and music has helped me do that as well.
Do you still write songs in the same way? Is it still largely just you in your room, or do you have a different process as you've gone on?
I have a studio now.
Very fancy.
Yeah, I have a studio. It's kind of a small little studio. Very, very humble little studio.
Yeah.
Just because my neighbours were getting they were getting too annoyed. Just like me recording like 12 backing vocals, like just a really high ooh for like 20 seconds on a Sunday afternoon. They're gonna snap at some point. Yeah. Like, so I have a studio, so I've gone up a little bit, but the process remains the same.
Do you feel like such a gangster being like, I'm about to go into my studio and lay down some
tracks? It doesn't get old. Just unlocking the door, just walking into my studio, turning on all the lights, just like cleaning off the desk. And then I'll go ahead and not be able to write a song for like 4 hours. So
yeah.
Like write something better in my bedroom. Yeah.
So look, you've sold out the Olympia.
Yeah.
Sold out St. John's Castle.
Yeah.
This doesn't surprise me at all, because I've not had the fortune of seeing you live, but I've seen videos and photos, and I've seen you climb onto balconies and do things that just look ludicrously dangerous for a regular
person.
For the crack. But you do it as part of the emotion. So like, you're an incredible performer, you know.
Thanks.
And that's something else, because some people are very good songwriters, but not as engaged on stage.
Yeah.
You know, or they struggle with the anxiety of being on stage, and you kind of embrace it. But I need to ask, like, if there's anything else that we could maybe look forward to. Like, do you think that you're going to be at Altogether now?
It's a good question. It's been talked about, but I can't say for certain.
This is the part of being a musician where you have to become a politician.
I'm not trying to be like, I'm not trying to be cryptic. Like, I'm like looking around and like, I actually can't say for certain. But I will be playing in Ireland at a festival over the summer.
Okay.
But it'll either be one or the other of the main ones.
Okay.
But
I know that means it's either Electric Picnic or Altogether now.
Yeah, it's one or the other.
But you already headlined Electric Picnic.
Yeah, well, I've played there. Yeah, I know. I can't say one or the other, but like I love Altogether now. I think it's an amazing
festival. I love Altogether now too.
I love how well it's set up. I love the grounds, I think, and the vibe there. I went there like last summer for a day. It was beautiful.
You hit the nail on the head when you said vibes, because you should take G actually, because when I've been there before and I describe it to people, I say, I can't get over how nice everyone is. Like, I accidentally put a cigarette out on someone and they apologize to me. You know, like, you don't queue for the toilet. There's no dickheads.
It's just done right.
There's just no one being like blaggarding.
Yeah.
Everyone's
just
there to be like, how are
just
you?
Just have the
it's
crack, like,
see
yeah,
it,
yeah, yeah.
You know? Like, there's children there, you know? Not that I'd ever bring children to a festival. No. I still don't understand why they're there.
Yeah.
But, it's lovely. If the weather is good,
yeah,
it's lovely.
Yeah, yeah. Touch wood.
Okay, so, touch wood. See you at a festival this year.
Yeah.
Just going back to, like, the fact that you headlined Electric Picnic, that was quite a, like, that was an unexpected thing.
Well, I didn't headline Electric Picnic, per se.
Okay.
I played on the main stage. Yeah.
To me, that's the same thing.
Yeah, it felt like a headline to me.
But
honestly,
do you have like pinch me moments in your career where you're like, I can't believe that happened?
Do you know, I mean, it's a good question, because I think as an artist or anybody who's just kind of following a passion, you're always focused on the next thing and the next thing. And you always have this bigger plan that everything's feeding into. But there's definitely been a couple of moments that looking back on, I'm like, those are memories that you'll take with you.
Yeah.
And definitely the Olympia, the first time we played it, was something unbelievably special.
Yeah.
And just because it was the first time coming back on my first ever tour, I remember, like, the first time I did a show in Dublin before that, I couldn't sell it out, and believe it or not, and then the Olympia the next time around was twice the size, and we sold it out on the first day. So just to have to walk in and see the actual physical representation of, like, all those people and the love in that room is something you wouldn't forget.
Yeah.
But yeah, there's plenty of things, like, but yeah, that would be one that would just stick out, I think.
Can I ask, because I know Elton John was a huge part
of
kind of progressing your career by, you know, name dropping you.
And
have you met people that are sort of outrageously famous at this point? You're like, I can't believe I've met this person.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I met a few people. Like, I mean, Adele,
wow,
who I met, who's lovely. Lewis Capaldi is another nice guy.
Love him. Yeah.
Yeah, a really nice guy. But very normal.
Yeah.
Normal people. Niall Horan is a really nice guy. I'm not trying to these are just people I've met. I feel like I'm like name dropping people.
No, I wanted to know, because I think we don't have a sense of, you know, who do you get to meet and how, what are these people like? And is it overwhelming to be like, what do I say to this person?
Do you know, I mean, you bump into people at festivals and stuff and at shows, and they're all very nice people. I think one person who is also from the Southeast who has been a huge influence to me in my career and in my life is a guy called Maverick Sabre.
Oh, yeah.
And Maverick Sabre is an amazing artist in his own right.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I grew up a huge fan of his and I had the fortune of, we connected on Instagram and we just became mates and we've gone to each other's shows and he's offered me so much really useful advice, not only as an artist, but just as a person. And I think, in terms of people that I hold in high regard, I think that guy would be
he's
up
like
there.
A mentor and a
I don't know if he knows that, but yeah, a little bit.
Yeah, that's lovely.
Yeah.
By the way, I love that you're wearing friendship bracelets.
Yeah, these are nice. These are new things. I can't take them off because they're like little.
Do people give them to you?
Yeah, exactly. On the tour. No. On the tour, they were like these.
See, I'm a big Swiftie, so
yeah, everybody that comes out to the shows have been giving me like these beautiful little bracelets. They're one for self care, one for all.
Can I have one and auction it off on eBay?
I think the fans might cut take my head issue. Off. Like, yeah. Yeah, they might want my head.
Like, going back to what you said about having a mentor, there'll be a lot of young musicians who would hear you on the radio and think, God, I'd love to be like that.
Yeah.
You know, what advice would you have for, you know, there could be someone else in Waterford who's writing songs and playing gigs and wants to know, like, should I give up? What do I need to do, really?
Mm.
Like, if there could be maybe three things that you would, three you know pieces what? I advice think, you give to a young musician.
Yeah, as for a young musician, I think, number one, this probably sounds a bit boring, but like it's just to evaluate what you consider to be success, because like the fact that you're doing it, the fact that you're actually out practicing or writing or gigging or whatever, or even if it's just, I tried writing my first song, second song, or finished this song, the fact that you're just doing that in itself is the success, you know?
Yeah.
That's, you are successful because you're spending the time to pursue something that you love, and that'll always be there. But I don't know, in terms of other things, it's like, I guess just trying to always make something that you think is cool, like that speaks to you.
Mm-hmm.
And if somebody else enjoys it, you make it for yourself. You don't make it for anybody else.
Yeah.
You made it because you felt that, you started off doing it because you felt that if you could make something that
it might help
you might be able to, discover something else about yourself.
Mm.
And if other people can share in that and see a bit of themselves in that, then that's a bonus.
Mm-hmm.
But as long as you're doing that, then it'll always be like a fun and fruitful and amazing experience. So yeah.
And maybe don't piss off your neighbours.
It's going to be, no, that's also, that's inevitable. That's okay. Just going to happen. Yeah. So you just got to learn to deal with that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
As someone who grew up with a guitarist for a brother, like, I can only imagine how you may have annoyed a couple of people.
Bottle of rum. Bottle of rum at Christmas, bottle of rum at Easter.
Okay, that's how to keep it sweet.
Yeah, keep them sweet.
What's next? What's the holy grail? What's the... Is there a game plan? Is there a long-term plan? Are you allowed to say?
What is next?
Yeah. What's the dream?
The dream is... Oh, the dream.
The dream. Like the... like.
No one's asked the dream on air.
Nobody...
It's very simple. The dream's very simple.
Okay.
Madison Square Garden and Croke Park in the same year. That's the dream. That's it. But like, that's the first time it was aired. But yeah. So, but before then, there's
now
a few steps.
Now that you said it, that's part of making it happen.
Manifest!
Your best!
But yeah, I think there's a few steps before that, obviously. So I'm just really excited to, number one, live this self-care era and let people enjoy those songs. Like, I'm so proud of these ones. And the album is done. The album's recorded, waiting, ready to go. And it's going to come out this year. And that's, I know, like, the music industry has kind of moved a little bit away from albums, but every artist will always tell you to make an album is a really big deal. And
yeah, I feel inspired listening to you. I'm not gonna lie. Like, you're there talking about how valuable it is to just work something out yourself through your art, and I'm like, I'm gonna go home now and write a poem.
Yeah, write a poem.
I'm gonna go home now and draw
whatever.
A picture.
Yeah.
You know, like, I'm gonna make something, and you know, who knows? Like, people might actually want to read it. You know,
like I
said,
as long as you want to read it, that's all.
I know that music, has changed dramatically in the last 10 years, but I just think as long as you're willing to share something real,
exactly, yeah,
people are gonna listen.
Yeah, put something out and just that.
I'll ask you one more question and then I'll let you go because I kept you for ages.
That's all right.
Seeing as your lovely girlfriend is here with us, can I ask how you met?
We met on a boat in Berlin.
Wow.
For her birthday, actually.
On your birthday?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
This is an unscripted interview, like. we did. And she was wearing a really nice bikini, I remember.
Oh, what colour was the bikini?
Red. Red, it was red bikini. We just kind of took it from there.
I think if you can get the girl in the red bikini, you can get Madison Square Garden.
That's the, if you can do that, you can do anything. Yeah.